The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.
Okay, we're back again with three guys that would be good enough for Dragon's Den, perhaps not presidential candidate. Bernard Flynn, how are you doing?
No, definitely not presidential candidate. They can't, if they look in that closet, they won't be nominating me. Or Johnny. I'm looking at you next, Johnny.
I want to hear more about the closet.
Johnny Ward, you obviously don't want to see Michael D. Higgins taken down on your own.
No, like...
A short man.
I think he's a great man, notwithstanding his Galway United connections. I remember getting on a train one time and there was no seat left in the train apart from one seat, which was a seat beside Michael D. Higgins. And I said, like it was before, he was a Labour TD at the time. I said, Michael, do you mind if I sit here? And he said, no problem. Bought me a coffee and we spent the 2.5 hours of the train just chatting, which doesn't happen on trains anymore.
Hashtag need for Mick D.
Yeah, so we had a mutual friend that we knew and he's obviously lifelong. He's like kind of Kim Il-sung in North Korea. He's president for life for Galway United. Even when he passed away, he'll still be president.
Who was the mutual friend? Your man Neeson, was it?
Actually, Nicholas Canny, who's... a professor in Galway. No, it wouldn't be Nick Leeson. No. One saw him on the
just a joke.
Train
don't
as well.
Us, don't sue us.
Just funnily enough, speaking about the next Irish presidency, I have betting here. He's 6-1
on. 6-1
on. If you're getting stuck in, he's 6-1 on.
What about the three dragons?
The only thing I'd worry about, like if you're backing a short, is that I remember watching the debate on primetime and watching the betting fluctuate when the Gallagher revelation. It was one of the most compelling betting kind of half hours I've ever seen in terms of fluctuations.
Similar to Rosa Tralee, it's just madness.
But he was as short as Michael Lee is now going into that debate. And then the closet, you know, didn't reveal what might reveal about Bernard, but it revealed stuff.
We're 6-1 on Michael Deed for another term in office. 5-1 Sean Gallagher. Of course, fairly controversial what happened in the last presidential race. 10-1 Gavin Duffy. John Finucane is in there at 12-1. It's 14s and bigger the rest.
This is a non-political podcast, though. Just like the GA, we're non-political.
I can't believe we're speaking about the presidency.
What a way to start.
Right, well then let's go for the All-Ireland football final instead. Dublin against Tyrone, Sunday, 3:30. Dubs chasing 4 in a row. But before we get to that, what about the Mayo management situation, Bernard? Stephen Rochford is gone. Who's coming in?
Yeah.
You told me you had an exclusive.
No, I didn't know. No. Well, there's a couple
you
of things.
You told him you had an exclusive. No,
he did.
I think it's incredibly interesting. And because it's big business. And Mayo are big news. We can say what you like. They've been incredible over the last number of years. It's extremely tough on Rochford and his family. It's a rootless business. There is no sentiment. It is rootless. The only issue, I was surprised he was going to be given another term. I was surprised that he even considered staying on myself, genuinely. But when he was allowed, a few weeks, 3 weeks ago, to go and pick his backroom team, that was an issue and a problem. And I think it was wrong.
But which part of it now? The fact that they gave him such a short deadline to get it in order, or the fact that
no,
they
that they allowed him at all? Because
why wouldn't they?
Well,
sure, he's surely going to pick his own men.
Yes, no, I have no doubt. But by all accounts, Shane, there wasn't support from at the county board level, and as we see now, there wasn't support from
the
players
either.
Oh, you
were surprised that they let it get to the
absolutely,
stage that he was
absolutely.
Ever be
that's what I mean. 100%. I don't think it's for Mayo football. I don't think it's the worst thing that happened, provided they get the right man in now. But it's very tough on him. And I'd say the most hurtful aspect is, behind it all, we know Mayo players. We know what they're about. If they want something, if they feel strong enough, they'll speak about it. It's obvious they didn't support him either, behind it all. And that's very evident since the other day in the announcement. So the players, allegedly, the players want Horn very strongly back in there. And that's probably more to do with their silence than anything else.
Just before you go any further on other candidates, to be fair about Rochford and what you're saying, fair enough, that may or may not be true about the support he has from within the camp, but I have to say I think he's one of the most pragmatic managers I've seen in the last few years. I know he didn't win Connacht, but really was that their target anymore? Fair enough, maybe it should have been, but at least when he sees that there's an issue out there, he's going to target it. Like he put Lee Keegan on Enda Smith, for example. He put Lee Keegan fullback on Sean Kavanagh before as well. And when he went to town on him, even what he did with the Aidan O'Shea thing, it was absolutely nuts, but at least he's willing to try it.
And he dropped his goalkeeper for a replay.
Yeah, and I know. And obviously it has backfired at times.
And he had six of his most experienced players at the end of last year's All-Ireland, out of his 8 most experienced players, 6 in the line tried to close it out and beat against Dublin. I'm not here to criticise
him. Some of their players did implode on the field, and he can't control that as well. We know we saw the red card last year with Donny Vaughan, but he got them playing at an incredibly high level at times. So for a manager to get the team to perform like that, it isn't just coincidence,
why,
to be fair.
Okay, I'll ask you, Shane, why didn't the players back him?
In the past week when he was...
Why haven't they backed him? Why haven't they said a word?
Yeah. I mean, that's fair
enough. Do they
need to enough. Back him, though? They've decided the last couple of managements.
Yeah.
Their fate, incoming and outgoing.
I've real misgivings about the players deciding who they want to be in charge. Like, you know, did lads want Mick O'Dwyer back in the day to run up the hill of, you know, the hill of wherever, like a million times? They probably didn't, but like the manager...
I'm with you totally on this, Johnny.
And Stephen Rochford, as Pat Nolan of your own paper said, he should be remembered by how close he got Mayo to winning All-Ireland, not by not winning the All-Ireland. We're going into the Dublin Tyrone preview now, where I'm going to confidently predict that Dublin will hockey Tyrone. Mayo got within a point of them, so close, like
on several occasions.
They've been brilliant, absolutely, and I've said it. There's no one still. Look, the Super 8s, we miss Mayo, but going back to here's what Jimmy McGuinness now, allegedly again. Got to say allegedly.
Yeah,
Jimmy McGuinness. There's when I led to believe a fairly wealthy consortium trying to actually offer whatever it takes to Jimmy McGuinness to take Mayo at the moment. I don't think he will, because in a different career path and soccer, if he does, it's soccer probably over for him.
I think Jimmy McGuinness wanted the Galway United job when the Saudis were coming in, and it was mooted in the media. I believe it to be true. I don't think he's keen on going back to Gaelic football.
No, I don't believe that, but he's been offered seemingly once
a package
a big, very, very lucrative package. James Horne is the man there, unless Kevin McStay. It's a very interesting one, McStay.
Yeah, he's current Roscommon man.
No, I'm driving the car yesterday, and the PRO for Roscommon says he's going to stay another year. Kevin McStay is not meeting the county board in Roscommon till next week. He's doing an end of year review at the moment, so he has not agreed to stay for another year. I personally believe he would love a crack at the Mayo job. The problem is Lee McHale with him. The players don't like Lee McHale, and they made that known the last time, and that's why they didn't get the opportunity maybe they should have got. So the Mayo players still
don't like Lee McHale. So what? Like,
I agree.
You know what I mean?
But the Mayo players, these aren't ordinary players. Mayo players will decide. They have an agreement in place that they have an input into the managers. That's in place with the county board. It's incredible stuff. Mm.
Did you like every manager you played under?
I
like,
only
you
know, won. And I loved them.
A lot of the managers you hate, but a lot of them...
Well, I love hate relationship, but he loved me and I loved him.
I'm sure a lot of the managers you hated, like, actually you got on very well under, in the sense that in general, you don't have to love the manager. It's like just what he gets out of you.
I'd absolutely respect.
Be it through fear or respect or whatever. Absolutely.
Respect is a fair point, but respect. I'd imagine there isn't too much of a lovey-dovey relationship between Jim Gavin and his players.
I think this is not
That's not actually true. I know one player like who's had like a serious family issue like over the last few months, we'll say, and the way he's dealt with it has been just impeccable. And all this stuff about how, you know, players going out for pints, like Jim Gavin delegates. He knows that if lads screw up, like there's just somebody better. They don't speak down, they really don't speak ill of him. And even speaking to a few Kilkenny lads about Cody, even after retiring, they don't speak down to him. They said he's
what he
is.
Publicly. No,
even in a bar, they said to me, "No, you know, he's not. They wouldn't be buddies with him. They wouldn't talk him down."
Then.
Yeah, maybe the guy I was talking to was a nice guy.
Do you know what? Actually, there's a couple.
I've heard different stories too, Shane.
You mentioned, you know, lads out in pints and county teams. I know of two county teams right this year, and I can't say who they are, but they ended up a few players from each team after they'd played earlier that day, boxing the heads off each other in a pub. Can't say who it is, obviously, but it's fairly tantalising stuff. Will we talk about the All-Ireland final?
In the 30-year papers, we'll reveal them in 30 years. Yeah. Freedom of
in 30 years' time. This is who did it.
I'm getting together. Do you know what I'm looking for? Saturday's going to start. I'm meeting my teammates of 30 years ago. At 12:30 in the Crow Park Hotel, and we're going to spend a full day together.
On Saturday. Rag order on Sunday.
No, I'll drink Ballygown all day Saturday, Johnny. You know that.
Okay, yeah.
Better man. I'd say you'd drink it out of a dirty sock, wouldn't you?
Water, yes.
Yeah, you would.
That'll be some day now.
It'll be a great day, and we're all looking for. We've the actual guns are decommissioned for the day with the GPAs.
Your biceps.
We're being honoured that day. And so even O'Rourke is going, myself. So we're all going together. Boylan wants us to go. We're going to make a day of it, and I can't wait to meet
Boylan
them.
Will Boylan be
there? Oh, he's the main man.
What will the topic of conversation be now, generally, throughout the day?
Everything bar football, slagging, crack fun. There'll be no football. It's the most boring thing going.
What about the way Colm O'Rourke talks? Beautiful Fipple. Is that the way you pronounce it?
Shane, Dublin and
Shane, what are the odds for the football final?
Yeah, 6-1 on Shane for Dublin to win in 70 minutes. 14-1 about the draw. Tyrone 11-2. If you're looking at the handicap, it's still at 6 points like it was last week and the week before, indeed, when we priced this final up. Currently, to lift the trophy as well, odds on that, Dublin 7-1 on, Tyrone 9-2.
Bernard, how do Tyrone play here? So there's a few options. They sit back as they did in 2017 and the Conn goal destroyed their plans. Like Jim McGuinness had a suggestion, 11 inside the 45, and then the other four players press from the opposite side around the 65. So you have pressure on both sides of the ball. Or, you know, I mean, look at Galway in the semi-final, good defensive shape, and they still conceded 25 scores. So what did they do?
Well, the one thing, first of all, I think Mickey Hart probably, tactically, will probably get this right. Whether his team are good enough to execute, I don't believe they are at this moment in time.
No, but you're saying he'll get it tactically right. How would you go about it?
I'll tell you what I'd do.
He got badly wrong last year.
Badly wrong. Yeah. I was up in Oma and I seen a lot of positives, what they learned. Now, bringing the pitch in that night, or that evening, is everything that Croke Park isn't. So you actually are admitting we can't play in the big open spaces. That is a worry for me.
Psychologically, that's interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting. Yeah. A very interesting one. How did they go back? How does he get that? He had them built up. He brought the pitch in. We all know that. I mean, Sky
allegedly.
Sky didn't have anything to do with it, allegedly. But if you look at it now, he's to face, what a shame. The one thing I will say to you, there is absolutely no chance of this Tyrone team coming from behind to beat Dublin. The only thing that has to happen, how the manufacturer is, they have to get ahead in this game.
Absolutely.
I'm still waiting to hear how they're going to play.
No, okay, whatever. I think I would push up on Cluxton's kickouts for the first 15, 20 minutes. Be
all
brave.
Of
all of them. Shane, all of them. That's the first thing I would do. I'm not too sure they'll do that.
Yeah.
They do need to get ahead, but the matchups, okay, we have three matchups for me. Kilkenny, first of all, Keegan, 8 possessions last year, Lee Keegan, from 62 the day before. Yeah. Brilliant. Mayo got so much right. Kilkenny first, Fenton second. Fenton was allowed to run at the park up in Oma. That's the one big mistake they made. The only thing down the stretch, the only time in the last few years, any team faced Dublin down the stretch in a big game was Tyrone that night in Oma. They played them off the park for the last 7 or 8 minutes. Genuinely, the one goal was the difference. So they will get a lot from it. How many matchups do they have to get right? The second was Kavanagh sat sweeping. Somebody has to sit on Fenton. Hamsey probably going to do it. And then Fenton, I think Hamsey has to take Kilkenny. I actually do think he has to take Kilkenny early on. Push up in the kickouts. Get three. The three matchups are Jack McCaffrey, Fenton and Kilkenny. They are crucial.
What about James McCarthy then?
He's been quiet enough. He got the goal in Oma. And it was he was brute honesty, sheer raw power, and that was the difference. He was brilliant. He is probably, for me, the most consistent and most brilliant Dublin player over the last 7 or 8 years. I love him.
28-1 for the first goal at the weekend.
He is a beast. Mm. You look at Cooper, you go through them. So, but then the bench. Tyrone then have to get the matchups. They have to. Paul Flynn, McManaman, if you look at Costello, where does it start? So they have I think Mickey Hart might do something. He started Lee Brennan in the semi-final, Johnny. I thought it was a massive mistake.
Mm.
I think he'll have learned. He has to keep. Against Donegal, his best team finished 2-5 off
2-5
the bench.
From the bench.
Massive.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the imponderables. If they start well with a game, but don't. Dublin could bury 2 goals in the back of the net. They've conceded
like
a couple of goals
year.
Like last year. Yeah. That can't happen. So I think be brave, push up in the kickouts, get 3 or 4 matchups really right. I would start a couple of big rows if I was Tyrone. Honestly.
Like what Mayo did.
No, I tell you what, no one who has ever done it. Cooper. The likes of Philly McMahon. Get guys in there that'll fight, stare them down, rustle the whole thing up. Dublin don't. But if you go and play football and go toe-to-toe with Dublin football, they're going to be destroyed.
Will he consider marching down to Hill 16 for the warm-up like Mayo did a few years ago?
Like Tyrone did themselves. You should see that online. They did an 90-something, whatever it was. It was unbelievable. Mm. That was brilliant.
Well, it worked for Mayo the time they did it as well. Mm. Did they win by a point, wasn't it, that day? But
You mentioned the matchups, all right, but if you look at the matchups the other way, John Small is probably going to go on Peter Hart again.
100%.
So number one, he's been marked out of it by Small a few times. How does Tyrone's kind of classiest footballer and great ball carrier, how does he get into this game? Does he take him out to the far end of the field? Does he adopt a defensive position to bring John Small up on him? I think Small could actually score. He did an Oma, I think.
He did off his left, yeah. Well able to score.
The other thing, Niall Sludden, he had a tough time with Owen Merchant on him the last day. But if you look at Owen Merchant then when he was trying to mark Ian Burke, who's a tricky player for Galway closer to goal, he struggled.
So he won't start.
Owen Merchant won't.
I don't think
Do you think
will.
It'll be Michael Fitzsimons?
I think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, either way, what we're talking about here is how do Tyrone exploit what Dublin are going to do? There's a couple of things where they're like, they're going to do that. So how do we turn that into a negative for Dublin?
Tyrone don't have the personnel to cover all the bases. They actually don't. To plug the holes, they don't. So you need, first thing, Shane, if they're going to win, Dublin have to have an off day. And everything has to go right for Tyrone. Yeah. That is a fact. If you're going to pull off a shock like this to this extent, and I have to compliment your own county last week. Roughly the same betting and roughly the same underdogs. They were brilliant. And they had a lot of luck. If you look at it, things didn't go right for Cork, if you like.
With the last goal as well.
Different things.
Cork got away with a red card.
They do need a
no,
bit of luck.
No, you're not right. Tip got no luck.
And I'm telling you now, when we're all watching the match on Sunday, we're up wherever we are on the ground or on TV, watch, if Tyrone start well, the one team that actually can do well with a lead is Tyrone. And I'd love just to get into the situation to ask the questions of Dublin if they went 4 or 5 points ahead. Then we'd have a game. And there's no point in saying Dubs giving out that I'm... I just love, as a neutral, to have a game and ask the questions of Dublin. Mayo asked the questions. Down the stretch, they just failed badly when had Dublin beaten. Mm. No team has had Dublin in the grasp of their hands, staring victory down, and they implode. Mayo done that down the stretch.
They possibly did. Johnny, I'll throw this one at you then. Make a case for Tyrone, because I'm looking at the free taking, and you know, if you go back to Omar, Ronan O'Neill missed one to put him back to within a point.
That was huge that night.
I know. Rock is absolutely imperious. I mean, last year's GPS free is the obvious example. The goalkeepers, who's more likely to be spooked, Stephen Cluxton or Niall Morgan? Johnny, can you make a case for Tyrone?
No, not at all. And Bernard is right. They have to start well. Like, they really have to start well, which probably involves a mistake from Dublin. Comer's goal against Dublin, maybe a high ball, something kind of fluky. They have to start well, but everyone is saying, what can Tyrone bring to surprise Dublin? Dublin are going to have their own little tricks as well. Like, so Mickey Hart has a mountain of a job here, and I'm just looking at it. When I watched Dublin against Donegal in the Super 8s, I'd never seen a team so methodical, Bernard. They were just the reluctance to take on points. And Jim McGuinness has spoken about this a lot since. The reluctance to take on points unless they were within 30-35 yards.
They haven't taken a shot from outside the 45 this year.
And Jim McGuinness spoke this week about, you know, we're on about the sideline cut being a 2-point thing, that if it's outside the 45 from play, it should be maybe 2 points. And he brought in all these arguments as kind of counter-arguments to Brawley's counter-arguments to his initial piece.
To be honest, I found it a pointless piece at this time of year. Let's talk about the match. This is winter talk.
He did discuss the final 2 weeks ago, and he went on. So I agree with you on that. But he spoke about camping all their players within the 45. That's grand. Mm. Now, the only way I can actually see Tyrone beating Dublin is by playing an uber possession game like Dublin, having a 1 or 2 point lead, trying to manage it, frustrate Dublin, just pass. There's nothing more frustrating than watching a game where you want Dublin to lose and they literally just pass the ball across the pitch, and they do it so well, Kieran Kilkenny being the fulcrum of the whole thing. But I looked at that Tyrone Monaghan game, to me, I was the whole day I was watching that game, I said, what is the point of this game? Because either of these teams isn't within their forwards, Bernard, are nowhere near good enough. Where are the goal chance going to come? I disagree with you about Oma. I thought Dublin were managing that game in the last 10 minutes. Tyrone never looked like getting a goal, and I find Dublin's propensity just to break through lines and get a goal is always there. I honestly think the 6 point handicap is buying money, and I can't stress this enough. I think there's no comparison on the Croke Park pitch. Maybe it's a final, but I see no reason whatsoever. John Small will probably do a job on Peter Hart. And John is he's a terrific footballer. He's hard.
There's a massive smirk on Johnny's face. Yeah. We all know where he's going with that.
Yeah.
Go on.
John was obviously controversially sent off in the Leinster Championship. He swore to me that he didn't mean it, and I actually believe him on that.
He was timed at me.
But because he's John Small, nobody will believe him, right?
Oh my God.
I love watching Peter Hart. Absolutely one of my favourite footballers. And if he's half neutralised, where are Tyrone going from them? I think Colm Kavanagh is going to have an awful tough day as well. I think this is really going to tax him.
Can I try and throw one at you, Bernard? Because again, I'm trying to make a case for Tyrone here the whole time. If they get the running game going, which obviously means Niall Sludden, maybe Hart, Conor Myler if he's fit, Tiernan McCann, McGeary, we know who the players are. So again, to come back to what can they do that might possibly ruffle Dublin's feathers? And, you know, I mean, you're going to have to... Here's two that I'd suggest. Okay. Right, last year, Lee Keegan, as you mentioned, gave Kilkenny an awful time. Well, who would give Kilkenny an awful time this year? Do you want to go with someone who's going to limit him like Hampsey, or do you say Peter Hart? You go back there and stand on him. And fair enough, if we end up with a Tommy Walsh, Larry Corbett,
they won't put Peter Hart back.
Well, look,
there.
Let's say that's one thing. Okay, and sure. I'm not saying that plan A, but I'm something like that. And then it's 10 years since Sean Kavanagh was thrown in full forward. Well, we know Colm Kavanagh is unbelievable in the air. He's not a particularly graceful footballer, but just as a curveball. And again, I know a lot of people are probably thinking, what is this idiot talking about? But you need something different.
What influence will Colm Kavanagh have in midfield in this game? I'd say very limited. Genuinely, with the running game,
he's been man of the match in their last two games.
He was brilliant against Monaghan, absolutely brilliant. But
only for him, they would have been
this
beaten.
Is a different ball game.
I know that.
The
point Shane is just making is maybe do something a little bit different. What Mayo have done very well against Dublin is on Cluxton's kickers, but they kept a higher line. The worry I have for Tyrone is that if they drop back at all and invite Dublin on, he will be walloped, Johnny. Yeah, and
because
the
they just keep possession. You can't get the ball and then they get an opening, they score.
You know the average wides that Dublin have had in the matches this year?
No, what?
Just over five.
Incredible.
It's insane economical ruthlessness.
Barcelona of games.
And bear in mind,
it's amazing. Amazing.
Most of those games are games where they could quite readily hit 15 wides and win handy. So that's incredible.
Do you know where I see an opportunity for Tyrone? I really do. And I'm studying it now. And yet Dublin have racked up good scores. But look at the opposition they played against this year by and large.
Leinster's a joke.
Yeah. Donegal for 50, 55, 60 minutes in that match in Croke Park, I was doing the commentary, were excellent. Donegal, I was so disappointed with, backed off, happy to lose by 4 points in the night, but did ask a lot of questions.
Dublin just held on to the ball.
In the league final, Galway asked a lot of questions. This year in the semi-final, Galway disappointed me so badly this year. No one has
missed their chances too.
They did.
But the penalty miss. You have to be ahead of
listen
them.
Listen to me now on this. Apart from the subs, the Dublin forward and Howard has been brilliant. What happened up until the last game, Conor Callan and Mannion were very quiet, but Jim Gavin will have delighted their form, 4 points and 1-3 respectively. It was brilliant. If those couple of players have an off day, up front they haven't set the world alight at all, missed a lot of goal chances, they have done that. If Rock had an off day with the freeze, I mean, has anyone tried to rattle his feathers or this, that and the other? I know he's brilliant and all that. I think they need to keep a higher line, and if they can really put pressure on the Dublin forwards, force Jim Gavin to empty his bench earlier than he'd like and do a job on Costello, McMenamin. I know it's big ifs. I'm just clutching at straws for a close game.
Well, Bernard, if you're talking about that, if they've hit five wides on average.
On average?
They're not hitting shots from outside the five. So Tyrone presumably will say, we're not letting you inside this zone because we're going to have to psychologically change our mindset here. That's the only thing one can say because...
Last year, I felt too many of Tyrone's kind of players that were sitting back were sitting behind the D, covering space that the ball
terrible.
Never went.
Correct.
So
never went.
Just playing on the outskirts of it and wait for
and they
hole.
Were able to take their scores from a bit of range that day with the extra time, but they've just changed the philosophy.
But still not from silly.
No,
silly
but is
there's
that
a scoring zone that they always focus on? I know that for sure.
Is that game last year, is that still in their minds? This was a massacre where they came in and we were all expecting a relatively close. A lot of people were. Is that a positive burner in terms of we have revenge on our hands? I think it's more like we're going back to Croke Park here. I remember this place from last year.
Apart from that game last year, Tyrone have really been very close to Dublin. A draw in the league there a couple of years ago. They've been actually quite close. The match at Noma and Dublin were in control. But there was so many positives in Tyrone.
It's so different though.
What I'm saying. That's the problem I'd say with Hart is the big open spaces. Tyrone are not near as good a team as Dublin. That is the facts. There's no hiding. If this Dublin, all these Dublin players bring their A game, all of them, they could actually destroy.
They've lost one championship game under Gavin. Where is the implosion going to come from? Or where is the even 70% performance?
At some stage it has to happen.
The ultimate machine, the ultimate manager is a manager who basically inculcates in his players the traits that he has himself. And Gavin is a machine, it's methodical, and the players are just morphing into him.
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, we talk about, you know, fast starts or whatever, and we're thinking, you know, if Tyrone get off to a fast start, there's a small glimmer of a chance that they might be able to do something something for the remainder of the match. But if they get off to a fast start, you know, it goes back to the point, you might see a bit of gamesmanship even early on, time waste and stuff like that. Anything. He's gonna try absolutely anything, I reckon, Mickey Hart, this Sunday to get in front.
Damien Comer's goal, right? Mm. So Cluxton, to me, has had a patchy enough year in many.
I thought
he was poor in Oma as well. Mm. Cluxton made a balls of that, an absolute balls of that. It doesn't happen anymore that you put in high ball in front of the four.
Do you know who's the only guy? And that goal is an interesting point. Mm. And actually, I was going to bring it up. You've brought it up and reminded me. Philip McMahon was inside. The only guy nearest to him, Keane Sullivan wasn't sweeping, was Scully, was standing beside him.
Yeah.
And he just
struck. He's not the tallest in the world.
Cluxton came out and he shouldn't have come out.
Yeah, so that's a possibility. If Tyrone goes, we're
going to...
Maybe.
Yeah, it's possible.
Or McAllis gave you size to use, size and height, which he hasn't done.
If Mickey Hart is listening, he's like, well, I can't do it now because the Mirror lads have said this might happen anyway, so they've actually, you know, blown the, you know, so... But if they could get an early goal, if they get 3 points up, Tyrone have a bit of game management there.
They do.
Because if they're chasing the game, forget about.
They're 3-1 to lead at half time. Unlikely in all as it is. Is it a good price?
5-1 Tyrone half time, Dublin full time. I think that's a decent
match. Not bad. Niall, you mentioned Niall Scully there for first goal scorer. He's 16-1. You know how
he likes 20 minutes.
He likes to cut through from deep. Mm. Maybe there'll be no goal here, actually, to be honest.
I think he's under pressure to start, but I think Gavin will start him.
Who?
Scully.
Yeah.
The last day. Flynn, I believe, is absolutely flying. Flying is the word. Mm. But I think he'll be held. Mm. Can I just throw this one out? And this is ruthlessness of the highest order. Any other manager, under the circumstances, with a stalwart like Bernard Brogan, I'm fascinated to see will Brogan be in the 26, getting back from the cruciate and all that. I'm going to say it now, like, Jim Gavin does not care one bit of what Bernard Brogan has done. If he doesn't fit and he doesn't believe he's fit enough to be in the 26, he'll leave him out on his last big day in Croke Park. Most of the managers would bend the rules a little bit and bring him in. He might not.
That kind of reminds me of Michael O'Leary and Ryanair, right? Michael O'Leary treated his workers very hard, but Michael O'Leary worked seriously hard himself, and he did what he expected the workers to do. Jim Gavin has no ego. Jim Gavin does everything for the betterment of Dublin,
correct,
in my view.
Correct.
So Jim Gavin doesn't care about Jim Gavin as long as Dublin win. That's why he doesn't care about Bernard Brogan.
He actually will not care one bit.
No.
Will I give Bernard his last swan song? He will not. That will not come into the equation at all.
He's obviously as boring as the day is long, but he's been an incredible, incredible success, albeit with a great team.
Isn't it the worst build-up to an All-Ireland
it's
final?
It's all about Mayo. It's
Tyrone, yeah. Mickey Hart, yeah. Jim Gavin.
Mayo.
This week is about Mayo.
Yeah, it's about Mayo.
Because no one else is saying anything. It's so underwhelming, the build-up, because of the two teams that are in it.
Mm. Will it be sold out?
It'll be sold out.
I'm looking for tickets. Yeah. Bernard, can you help me out?
No, I think a little lady outside there
Rachel's
going to go. Her first All-Ireland final. Johnny
might be her last.
Might be floating around in the hotel.
She's
you're obviously.
Yeah, I'm drinking the seats.
Trying to help an old buddy out.
We'll see what we can do. Meet you Saturday.
I should go in Saturday really, to the Croke Park Hotel.
Come.
Bernard, what are all the Mead lads doing here?
They've stopped the boycott. We've boycotted the GPA thing, so Sean Boylan has asked
I think as well.
Drop, bury the hatchet for one
on match days, you need a ticket to get into the Croke Park Hotel. Is that right?
No.
You
can blag.
Well,
yeah.
You can anyway.
I've seen Johnny in operation and it's worth at the blagging. Going in to see what he does.
Lads, no goals of 6-1. Just footballer of the year then. Kieran Kilkenny is evens. Fenton 7-2. Colm Kavanagh 8-1. Could we have brothers winning it again 10 years on from Sean winning it? The Brogans and the O'Shea's.
Colm Kavanagh came on that day, scored the last point 10 years ago. He's the only guy involved. Mm. Can I just say there's 11 Dublin players going for their 11 Dublin players are going for the 6th All-Ireland medal on Sunday. Cluxton is going for 4 times to climb the steps as captain, is that right?
Yeah. Mm.
Incredible.
The
that
bench
is just
against
incredible.
Galway had 45 All-Irelands between
the bench.
So like,
some statistics.
I think Fenton's a bit of value there, because I think the thing about Kilkenny is it's not really enjoyable to watch Kilkenny, and there just might be a vote
to
say...
You don't like lateral hand passes?
Funny enough, just not madness, because it is one of the sad things about football. And it is worth reading Jim McGuinness's article in terms of proposals he can come up with to change, because his basic point is that football's ingenuity and evolution has outlived the outdated method of the rules.
I don't think it was the cleverest article he's ever done.
I'll tell you
But
what.
It was thought-provoking.
I'll tell you the reason that hurling is just far superior as a spectacle is because you can't hold on to possession endlessly. You are constantly under pressure to get rid of it and do the
do
right thing
what,
as quickly as possible.
I was thinking that
hold on. That imagine in football, if you could only do one hop and one solo, and after that you and had to you get rid to. Of it. This yeah. Would that not change everything? It would be unpredictable.
You've heard it here first.
As it comes.
But I was thinking of the hurling. When do you see the ball going backwards in hurling? Like, it just doesn't happen. And you know, like, it basically doesn't happen. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And now in football, it's game management.
Yeah.
And I think he was saying once you go past 45, you can't come back. Or the 65, I can't remember which. But I do believe rule changes. If Dublin, this game on Sunday is big for the future of Gaelic football. If Dublin win by 10 points, there's going to be a massive groundswell of opinion. We need to do something.
One hop and one solo, Bernard.
Yeah, no.
Come back to under 14, aren't you there?
That, well, whether it's that severe, I
it's
believe
more entertaining
that
under 14.
Something has to be done about the hand passing and the kicking the ball backwards. Mm. If those two things were eliminated, maybe the kick out to the 45. Now, that could go against maybe build up from the back and maybe the kick out to the 45, but something has to be done. The last 10 minutes with Dublin and Donegal was
turgid,
shocking.
Turgid.
Look at Dublin. Dublin now enjoy, they'll get ahead. They don't give a damn if they keep the ball for
it's
the last
sadistic
5 minutes.
Like.
It is.
It's actually sadistic.
It is.
And by the way, Michael Donlan's point in the first half of 98, Owen Mulligan's goal, wouldn't have happened under Shane's rules.
Yeah, yeah.
Just Mulligan's goal. And scores
wouldn't have
like
happened
that.
Under Shane's rules.
Yeah. And you see, what's killing me, I love Gaelic. I genuinely love the game. I love going to them, living in the moment, watching the game. But I'm listening to people every day I meet telling me I can't watch Gaelic anymore. I was with a guy this morning, the editor of the Mirror. He said, I'm not going, I can't stand it, I can't watch it anymore. I said, oh, is it that bad? I'm saying to myself now, am I brainwashing myself a little bit? But an awful lot of people are voting with their feet. Sunday probably sold out, but look at the ordinary game, Shane, throughout the year. Mm. People don't like the product. It is stale, it's sterile, and it's boring. The fundamentals are better, but it's boring as a product.
I think the basic problem Gaelic football has is one problem. Dublin are miles better than everyone else. If you took Dublin off the picture, I immensely...
We'd have a great championship, Johnny.
The Monaghan-Tyrone game, I enjoyed that immensely. And I don't
great.
Care, maybe
Kildare,
I
go through them. Kildare, Roscommon, Armagh was brilliant.
You watch Mikko, and you watch Mikko, and you watch the games of the 70s and 80s, the technique of these players compared to now, like. Mm. But that was great, and this is crap. Like, people need to cop
on.
No,
that was crap. That was crap back then,
absolutely.
Too.
A lot of crap.
Some of the match we played was shocking. I tell you this now, there was a match come on the other night. We were playing against Cork. I turned it off. I actually hid under the pillow. It was that bad, some of it. And I was playing. It was shocking. It was shite. It was terrible. So let me tell you, there was way more bad matches back then than there is now. That's the argument. My guys I played with disagree. It is a fact, Johnny. It was dreadful.
Is a rule change inevitable at next Congress?
Yes.
What? Like, it's going to be a huge one now.
I think there'll be two. I think that kicking the ball backwards and I think the hand pass will be curtailed. Has to be. If it's not, I give up.
Right. We're going to have to move on from the football at some point and on to the Premier League.
Know, where are we nailing the colours of the master, Dublin and Tyrone?
Do you know what? Just to be awkward, I'm going to say Tyrone plus six at even.
Ah, here.
And no goal at 6-1.
I think it could be a bet. Yeah. Dublin have to win by 7 points.
I'm looking at the total points here. We mentioned Brian Fenton. I think he was around about 7-2 for Footballer of the Year. But to score over 1.5 total points, 11-10. So to score two or more points for Brian Fenton, two or more scores.
The problem with that is if they stick to that regimental, he has to get within inside the 45.
Shane, can you tell the listeners my bet at 11-8?
11-8, Tyrone to get the first score of the match.
Just 11-8, Tyrone to get the first score. Johnny, I think that's a great bet.
Right,
first score.
Yeah,
Johnny, give me something. Yeah, please.
I'll give you 11 days.
You're going to cover the handicap by him.
He's all over
mile,
the handicap anyway.
That Dublin.
I cannot see. The only thing is Dublin could win by 6 points in a hack canter. Like, I back Cork City -2 in a hack canter, as they say.
What's that?
Like, basically, horse racing
term. You don't come off the bridle. Mm-hmm. You're just cruising. Like, you don't. Oh, you're never asked. You just. But I back.
Can I ask what's the bridle? I'm only joking.
I back Cork City -2 against Bray. There, one of the biggest bets I've had this year. They won 3-1. Bray had like one shot in the second half and it was criminally cruel to watch it. So Dublin could win. They know they're winning. They could win by 6 points, could win by 5 points. No one with 10 minutes to go. Dublin, Tyrone not going to get a goal. I think they'll be 7 or 8 points up at halftime.
Okay. I don't think they will, but listen, I hope to God we have a game.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing? Just the one thing the week that's in it, I think it's very clear. I watched the documentary last Sunday night of the Unbreakable Bond. Mm. Let me tell you, I didn't get the actual whole story and what they've went through. I think the timing of it, whoever put it out last Sunday, was a brilliant move. A brilliant move.
Played again Saturday night?
Maybe so. But I was talking to a few friends in Tyrone. They said the whole county... Now, it's probably 3 or 4 point little swing galvanising the county, the players watching it. And they all watched it. No doubt about it. Put the hair stand on your head, what they actually did as a young squad. Mickey Hart, what he's gone through. It just brings a little bit closer. The gap is so wide. I'm clutching. Dublin have to have an off day and Tyrone have a brilliant day. That is the bottom line.
God almighty.
But if the kids that are born in Dublin today, they want to play Gaelic football, surely watching Dublin win all the time. So in the future, how is the population gap going to be eroded? Like, it is, it's hard to see how this is going to be eroded. Unfortunately, it's simple mathematics, like.
Yeah.
And resources and money and the amount of kids training.
Can we talk something positive? Tip won the under 21 on Ireland last weekend.
It was phenomenal.
I said Tip on the handicap and more.
You did.
They'll win the Hurling All
Ireland. And I got Man United so wrong, I have to say. My God.
Hey, don't move on from Tip. We're some yokes.
Dublin minus six is my bet of
Dublin minus six.
Bet of the championship.
You're putting Everton on it. All the cobwebs.
I'm
going to go
with you, Shane. I'm going to say, I think Tyrone might just be inside the handicap.
So we'll move on to Premier League. Last week, now, and I hate bringing it up, but I had a few bets that came in. Arsenal and both teams to score 8-5 against West Ham. They won 3-1.
Good shout, Shane.
Kane first goal scorer, 7-2 at Old Trafford in that 3-0 hockeying. And Leeds 6-4, they beat Norwich
comfortably.
So, but before we get to the fixtures, and we'll start with Leicester Liverpool, Declan Rice, what a beaut.
I was on the other night with a couple of guys talking about it, and
don't you go advertising on other podcasts?
No, I'm not. There's no podcast, but Pat Fenlon said it. I thought Pat Fenlon was brilliant when it was talked. It's talked into the ground. And Johnny, my only take is if he doesn't want to play, bloody forget about it and move on. But look at the Grealish thing there. We looked like fools dragging it out, dwelling over, and all the end of it there. He doesn't want to play.
No.
The bottom line, he shouldn't have got three games.
Our jilted lover.
Yeah, I mean,
we're his gentleman.
But the thing about it is,
he's not going to be playing for England. End of story.
No, and I don't think. Okay, he'd have a good impact. He's a good player.
He's not in the West Ham squad at the moment. The team. He's not.
Is he a top class player?
He's young. Like
he's still young.
We have nothing. So anything is good. Like
true.
Remember in March when he came out with this interview and he said, "I've probably played over 40 games for Ireland since I was a kid. It's such a good national anthem. It's so catchy. You know the words straight away. Those are the words of someone trying to shine us on. Like
he's a new agent, guys. He's a new people around him. He's brainwashed and he's been told.
The worst thing in football at the moment is our agents.
That's what's changed him. End of story.
You look at Pogba's forms and I just see the agent all over that, like in his ear, and the money they're making. What did he make? 40 million from the Pogba transfer. It's absolutely obscene. I think the agents had a role. I have a very simple view on this. Let the man decide and leave him at it. Like, just let's get on with our lives here. Like, do you know what I mean?
It's not the be all and end all.
Lads, you have to have respect for other people's views on things like nationality, nationalism, patriotism. You know, James McLean is one end of the spectrum. Rice may be ambivalent towards Irishness, towards Englishness. You know, we can't oppose nationality. Nationalism is a relatively short thing in the passage of time. It'll be dead in several hundred years, whatever, 1,000 years. We can't just say he's Irish, he's not English. He's English, he's not Irish. He could be both, he could be neither. Whoever he wants to play for, let's get on with it, lads.
We've had an awful lot of English accents playing for Ireland over the years. You know, at the end of the day, he's born in England. So
we're going to
move on.
We're going to have in the next few years, which is a great thing for Ireland, because I think it's nearly the only way we're going to progress. We're going to have a lot of kids who are from Nigerian backgrounds who are probably going to declare, but they'll be in a dilemma, and they might declare for the African country that was the birth of their parents, and we'll be up in arms again about that. Then the coin will have flipped.
Okay, let's move on to the first match of relevance this weekend. Leicester against Liverpool, Saturday at 12:30. Liverpool are top after beating Brighton, kind of squeezed it out 1-0. Leicester beat Southampton 2-1.
Kind of match that they might not have won last year.
Grinded it out. Are we getting to a stage now where we're saying that so often that this used to be a match they wouldn't grind out? Are we actually going to get to a stage where, well, do you know what, this is probably a tricky one and they may not actually do it?
Do you know, it's interesting. We had a customer come into a shop actually this week looking for a price, would you believe, on Liverpool to win every single remaining match of the season in the Premier League.
Before he went to St. John of God's.
I said, here, anything you like really. But I mean, comparing it to, as I mentioned to you, it probably would have been a match that they would have maybe not lost, but definitely thrown away in the closing stages last season, and as they've done in recent seasons. The Brighton game, they nearly did.
They were poor.
But they got the win. Yeah. So, you know, looking ahead to this weekend's match, they're 2-5 to beat Leicester. Leicester 13-2 at 7-2 with the draw currently. So, you know, one for
who would have seen City last week at Wolves? No, I didn't see that coming. Again,
how they didn't win the game.
I know.
Do you know, everything, like, people talk about the result, right? the Brighton striker puts that in, Liverpool, all of a sudden there are doubts over them again. You know, you're talking about such fine margins. Man City should have won that game, simple as.
Wolves had a goal disallowed early on, rightly disallowed. Yeah. But as well, you know, it's not as if there aren't chances at the back there. And
no, absolutely, but they dominate the game. And Wolves are a good side. Man City or Liverpool will win the league. It's one or the other.
No Vardy this weekend. He's obviously retired from international football, but he's
that's
still
why
suspended.
They're 1-2 or 2-5, I think.
Yeah, 2-5 Liverpool. Yeah.
So Vardy's still suspended. The likes of Demarai Gray looks like a good player up there as well. Can we make a big case for Leicester getting a result? Any result here?
I think Liverpool are short, but like I think going away from home is probably a good thing in ways. Like Leicester aren't going to park the bus, and Liverpool will have a bit of self reflection that they didn't play particularly well against Brighton. Even Keita had a middling enough game. Firmino's slightly yet to get going. Even Salah's actually kind of half gone through the motions.
How long will Maguire be in Leicester for? Great goal. 5 minutes into extra time.
Yeah,
but how he's. Like this guy, you're talking about a few good games in the World Cup. He's now 70 million defender. It's obscene. It's obscene.
That brings back the Rice debate, because his agent is gone. If you're playing for Ireland,
correct,
you're every bit as good as Maguire. You'll be worth about 17 million, not 70. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what Harry Maguire's nickname is?
Go on.
Slabhead.
Slabhead.
Yeah. I can actually understand that straight away.
Yeah, makes total sense. Right, so we're all going to go for Liverpool win there, are we?
I think so.
Yeah,
all right,
2-5, get on.
There. Burnley against Man United Sunday at 4. Jose Mourinho just wants a little bit of respect. Can't you give it to him? You're a Man United fan, Burnley.
I watched the other night when he walked out of that conference and talking about himself
again. Great to see. As an ABU, I enjoyed that massibly.
But
continue to destroy yourself.
I've said it, and I did say it in this show, he will be sacked. And okay, the chief himself came out and said they're backing him. I don't believe they're backing him. Yeah. I think Ferguson, Charlton, everything that's good about United, I think they're cringing at everything they're watching at the moment. Did you see him standing at the end of the pitch?
Oh, clapping.
Pretending he was emotional. Because at that stage, he was thinking about his press conference and blah, blah, blah. And that was a bit of a game, deflecting from the performance. And to hear him speaking about, these are a United bunch, and look at the first half and all that. I listened and watched every bit of it. Instead of saying, you know what? I got my defence wrong. They were dreadful defensively. Okay, we did battle the first 30 minutes. They were shocking defensively.
Three centre-halves and Herrera was on the right.
It was horrendous stuff, lads, at that level.
Herrera's role for the second goal, first of all, he's a mile off, onside keeping, and then he puts in this flimsy tackle, like when he really should have blocked the ball for the actual shot.
Look at Jones.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think it's that they're not United necessarily, barring Pogba. I think they gave it their all, but the deficiencies in that team are so apparent. Like, obviously Lukaku should have put the 1-0 up, but Lukaku's chance came from a mistake. It didn't come from good play. Yeah. Whereas Spurs' chances were either because Man United didn't defend particularly well, or Spurs were just very good. I thought, even though Man United had a lot more shots than Spurs, midfield I thought Spurs dominated the game, Dembele in particular. And the thing about him going up to the fans was like Di Canio at Sunderland just before he got sacked. He did that, and the press conference, it was like watching the leader of a country it was kind of like watching Ceausescu in his last speech, where basically he's just kind of he's a lost man, and he's coming to the end.
Similar kind of trend when he was coming towards the end of his second Chelsea term as well, you know, just the team were falling.
He wasn't training yesterday.
Steve Staunton, remember when he drew 1-1 with Czech Republic in 07 and we were after just scraping a win against San Marino, and he didn't know what to say, and in his post-match press conference from his last game, he goes, things are coming along nicely.
Yeah,
is what he came out with. But like you're talking about the tactics there, Johnny, he said from a tactical point of view, we didn't lose. Like, my sides were splitting.
They were outplayed. Like,
the Herrera thing was just one example.
We'll say, like, Smalling did brilliantly for the block on, I think it was Eriksen, when basically Matic was rounded on three sides by the high press from a kick out. Matic to lose the ball like that. Matic doesn't lose the ball. Yeah. And that should have been a goal. That, like, the Spurs were by far the better team.
Is there anything to be said for Mourinho is playing a game here? So if we go back to when he was Real Madrid manager, didn't he play basically the most attack-minded team possible against Barcelona once, just to show the fans that this doesn't work, and they lost 5-0 to Barcelona? Is this him almost showing Ed Woodward, don't give me centre-halves and this is what's going to happen? Now, at the same time, why not play Eric
Bailly? I actually wouldn't discount that. I wouldn't discount, like, where he got the Herrera. Who thought Herrera was a centre-back ever? Like, he's not even good enough to play midfield. But like, an offside trap to be as bad as that, I remember saying, who was playing him on there? He's like 5 yards off.
Do you see Smalling's effort for the third goal?
But not only that, but Lindelof. God, this is how dysfunctional that
is. Why is he playing Lindelof?
But, I mean, so
the chap is out of his depth.
Yeah, you want to watch that goal again, because Smalling was faced with a horrible situation, being one-on-one with a seriously good player with massive pace. His tackle was poor.
Tackle
but
was
Lindelof, who, instead of covering the space between basically Smalling and the goal, which he was his natural run, he actually backed off in case Smalling got the ball so he could receive it off him. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, you're the centre half that was bought from, you were bought by Mourinho. And I was like, this is absolute car crash stuff. Like,
40 million
and nobody
worth.
Commented on it. Like,
you see, Mourinho to me is exposing some of the players he didn't sign as well. I mean, there's a game going on, there's
that's
ages
what Shane
money.
Is saying.
That's exactly
what
it
was compelling
as
well. Stuff because, you know, you watch the Spurs team and you're just thinking, With Son Heung-min to come back, if they could keep that 11 players, they probably have a slither of a chance. Mm. But they're very reliant on a small enough squad, maybe. Mm.
And like if they got back Son's pace, I mean, there's the whole spectre of the army duty.
But you play United players. No one knows. If you look at just even for I'm a Gaelic football guy watching soccer. I can see they don't know what they're at.
Mm.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. For a team like them, Johnny, that's the biggest
and
thing.
And Spurs were totally the opposite. And defensively, Spurs were very, very sound. Like, very sound. And they were able to just basically manage the game. As you say, though, Song and Moura there with that pace. Harry Kane, to me, is one of the most intelligent footballers, certainly strikers I've ever seen.
And selfless.
He's just, he basically does the right thing 99% of the time. And I'm not talking about missing chances. You're going to do that. Like, the ingenuity of that goal from the header and just his pass for the third goal as well.
Brilliant.
Set it up. My worry again, I'm not banging on about it. He did have a World Cup and I think he'll hit a wall at some stage. Yeah.
Now, they're away to Burnley this weekend. It's only a hen's kick down the road. They lost 4-2 to Fulham. They're in the relegation zone. They've probably
plenty
been over. Probably overstretched by the Europa League.
A hen's kick down the road.
A hen's kick up the road. It's not that far away. It's probably it's within an hour anyway.
That's not nothing to do with the bridle.
No. But you could mix your analogies there.
If they leave late, they might possibly have to go off the bridle to get there.
I heard Sean Dyche actually speaking about the potential of being in Europe early on in the season having an effect on the squad as well. Which
it's killing him. Is a different ball. You know, that Thursday night and tracks all over the. Oh, it's terrible.
That was Spurs' old Achilles heel as well, not that long ago, you know?
Yeah. Just on the match betting itself, Burnley are 19-4. They draw 13-5, and United 4-6 for the win. There's still odds on United despite two previous losses
is
on early
draw
this season.
13-5.
Not necessarily. I don't think. I put up United last week. I'm actually going to make them part of my treble again. I think they will win this weekend at 4-6, but very tentative pick.
It's surely the right team at the right time for them, lads.
Yeah, Burnley were poor against Fulham. They gave up so many chances. Should have been more.
Don't forget double odds on the first goal scorers, but anyone's guess really who's going to start up front. I mean, we've Martial in here at 11-2. He might not even be in the squad. So, you know, Sanchez is in at 9-2, but anyone's guess.
Kick snow for open
anyone's goal. Guess who's
Fred
start.
Has been disappointing as well.
Who?
Fred has been quite disappointing.
I tell you, he has been disappointing.
I didn't even know he was playing the last.
The whole team is all over the shop, really. Man City against Newcastle, definitely not a team all over the shop. City, like, I know they drew 1-1, but Wolves, they had 5 at the back though. And like, is that a template? Did you see the way Neville and Carragher were describing it? So if they had the 3 centre backs, but more or less 5 across the back, and the midfield was never too far away from the lone striker. So it's not like they were a million miles from each other and couldn't counter. So do we now see a template, and can Newcastle follow it?
Now, just watch. There's something going on there, I think, with Benitez as well and Newcastle as well. Because did you hear his interview afterwards at the last day as well? Now, they're probably a little bit unlucky to lose the last. Just they could have got a draw or whatever. I think you'll see City. Do you see back-to-back draws like that again last
they're
week
at home this weekend
at home,
well,
yeah, but so. You're not listen, I think they'll win by 2 or 3. What's -2, Shane?
-2 is around 10-11, still odds on even. Yeah, -2
even, yeah.
No half, the half time full time is 1-2 as well, so I think they'll be in front half time.
There was some interesting stats actually. City had 79% of the possession against Wolves, but
they battered them, but they didn't win.
But like, so 79% possession to 21, but only 12 shots to 9.
Chelsea had 82% possession against
Newcastle.
Yeah.
Was it 82?
82, yeah. Highest.
Man City could have 197% possession in this game if you add it up. Like, do you know what I mean? Newcastle under Benitez, especially with the players they had out against Chelsea, are just happy to basically just say, we're going to defend, and when we have the ball, we're not going to be particularly creative with it. But that doesn't necessarily say that you're going to be dominated. You can be dominated in possession. But as you say, chances-wise, like, Newcastle, I think, will be fine. But like, Benitez is very fed up of Ashley at this stage, and he knows all the fans are on his side. Yeah. He's done an amazing
job. A couple of bust-ups, like, the guys now have been left on the bench and stuff like that.
And like, if you even look at Newcastle, Mitrovic is gone, And like, he scored two goals against Fulham
there
last weekend, and that's all Newcastle have scored this season. Kennedy was he was ineligible to play against Chelsea.
Good, just like a brief point on Kennedy. In the match against Cardiff, when he missed the penalty, should have been sent off.
Yeah.
He was the first player, the first outfield player in the Premier League for, I think, 8 seasons who failed to complete a pass to his own teammate in the first half.
That's outrageous.
He did not complete a pass to one of his own teammates until something like the 55th minute of the match. First time in 8 years.
And Benitez still looking at him.
Yeah, and the penalty was horrendous as well. You couldn't have got a worse penalty all season. It was neither down the middle to the side. I don't know what it was. It was shocking. Just a shocking performance for him.
So we're all going for a Handy City win here.
Yeah.
And yeah, two or three goals, Andy. What's minus three there, Shane?
Minus three will be about 15 to 8, so a bit more value than...
You'd imagine beyond that line anyway. Watford against Spurs, top of the table clash actually. They've both teams have won all their games. It's the first time Watford have won the first three games in the top flight ever. So they beat Palace 2-1, obviously Spurs hammered United 3-0. And actually Pochettino has shown, unlike Mourinho, that if you actually coach your team and set them up well...
Did you see the slick new look with Pochettino? The suit, the hair, the whole
lot. Black tie, black shirt.
Did you see it?
Is he trying to be super?
Yeah, he does look like...
I think his missus and his daughter said, sit down, Dad, you look like a scruffy old, you know, in a tracksuit.
Speaking from experience.
But we said this about Eddie Howe last week. Actually put on a suit and look slick and you'll get the England job, no problem.
I'll tell you what, do you know, he actually put Mourinho to shame the other night, the way he was dressed and the hair and all. I was just...
Mourinho shook his hand with a minute left.
No, he hugged him, he rubbed his hair and his eyes.
I love the rubbing hair.
He's a bit of a Housewives and Bernard Flynn favourite.
No, I wouldn't say that, but he's after scrubbing up well, put it that way, compared to last season.
All right, chill out there, bro.
Well, Watford 9-2 here, by the way, 90 minutes. 3-1 the draw, and Spurs 4-7 for the win in 90
3-1
minutes.
3-1 the draw?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not bad either.
That's a good bet, I think, 3-1.
Yeah, wouldn't mind that one. Celtic and Rangers, actually.
That's this weekend, yeah.
Yeah. Does anyone here care about Celtic and Rangers?
No.
No?
Rodgers against Stevie G, yeah.
Like,
I care about the Irish lads, the ex-League of Ireland lads were playing in Scotland, but none of them is playing for either of these two clubs. But Darragh Horgan has started well at Hibs, and obviously McMillan is at St Johnstone as well. But no, my bet of the weekend in soccer, just to interrupt,
is League of Ireland.
How could you miss Palace and Southampton? Very keen on Palace to beat Southampton here.
Will Mark Hughes get sacked before Mourinho?
He's going to be in big trouble. I thought his comments after the game... And I always find this about managers.
They were poor, Johnny.
They were poor. And when the manager basically extols the positives of forms to say, you know, we were really dominant, they got a late goal. I was only watching the highlights. I was like, you weren't really, to be fair. You don't look much good. Palace were very good against Liverpool, I thought. They obviously, they're down to 10 men, but they actually are a decent side. Really hard place to play. Great place to watch Premier League. It's like a throwback. The seats are kind of wooden seats, like with a lot of the Palace fans in the corner all stand up, and they've created a great atmosphere. Confident Palace home win here for me.
19-20.
Yeah,
of odds on.
Do you know, Mark Hughes has been saying that for years, even when he was Blackburn manager back in, you know, the middle part of the last decade as well. He used to always say, we bossed the game from start to finish, whether Blackburn did it.
That man always looks for an excuse.
But you know, the managerial merry-go-round, when it was made for the likes of Hughes. If he's sacked, he would get another job next season.
He's never happy. If you ever look at his interviews after it, anytime they're defeated,
I
have
to say he was one of my most favourite players of all time. I loved him.
He was like a Meade footballer. He was hard.
He was hard.
Lads, you care so little about Celtic and Rangers that I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist.
I'd say 4-6 for the win.
4-6.
4-6, yeah.
I've liked this. Gerrard actually has been impressive listening to him, but I mean, at the end of the day, they're still way off Celtic.
He was given out to think about one of the players picked up an injury off...
Yeah, this artificial pitch.
The artificial pitches, yeah. He did not like that at all, did he?
No, he didn't like it.
No.
All right, it's going to be a good weekend of Premier League, Scottish Premier League and the rest of it. The rugby then, the Pro 14 is starting. Cardiff Blues against Leinster. Lads.
Shane, you take it up. I know you're a lover of rugby.
I'm so excited about this.
I'm actually going to become a bit more interested in rugby this year. I was on a radio show with Brian O'Driscoll a few months ago, and he spoke so well about it. And you obviously have to listen because you're right beside
Shane, listen to this very carefully.
No, I actually saw
the people's game.
He just spoke so well about the rugby. And then I've always found Joey Carberry quite an interesting player because he's kind of like, they don't know where to play him with Sexton there, blah, blah, blah. What's his best position? Now the fact he's gone to Munster just makes it quite interesting. And then we have, obviously, the Ulster situation as well, which is, you know, being in the news. So I think it'll be, and Connacht are, I went to a Connacht game last year for the first time, thought it was a very enjoyable experience. The rugby wasn't bad either. But yeah, I'm actually going to be interested this year, but I couldn't tell you about Leinster and Oslo.
Do you know what, that Leinster-Munster thing, if there's a bit of spite between the two teams, you know, if Munster
there
get
used
back,
to be.
Yeah.
Mm. If we a bit of riots then, and sectarianism like you have elsewhere, just, you know, it spices the whole thing up.
Well, maybe not well, that sectarianism. Far,
certainly the riots anyway. They're just too well, they're just too well off, these people.
Yeah.
Especially the
Leinster. They're too nice.
Too nice.
I want to see the two teams hockey each other on the field. Mm. And actually feel like Munster aren't just going to scrape a win, that they might actually beat them on merit. Fair enough, they've taken one of their players to do it, but hopefully that'll cause a bit of poison.
Yeah, but it's a great, I mean, RDS game time on a Friday night, whatever it may be, it's a great experience. I used to go up a number of times. I know, Shane, you don't have a huge graph for the
you
rugby.
You go there to take your Instagram pictures just like everyone else. I'm not no, you're not really there
I'm not
for
on
the
Instagram.
Neither am I.
I'm not on Facebook.
Neither
never in my life.
Bernard, this is why
Twitter's the only
so
thing.
Well. Same
I think
as.
So. Only thing.
I'll see you on
and
Saturday.
I do it for my column and a bit of other stuff. Other than that, I wouldn't be on it.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
You've got a load of accounts and they're anonymous.
Very vague
bank account
statement.
Shane. Yeah. No, all of mine were taken off me. I can trust you. I lost everything.
It's
I have one bank account.
It's the Labyrinth
I don't
account,
even
don't
have a card. Shane, I'm not even allowed to use a card. I don't
well, you're the right
you.
Man to listen to on a betting podcast then.
Jesus.
Accounts. Oh, take it all back. The last 3 months.
Oh, jeez. I remember I tell you a great story. Oh, no. I better not tell you. I'll leave it for another time.
Leinster 4-6 this weekend. Cardiff 13-10. The draw 25 to 1, very rare you'd have a draw on rugby.
Do you know it's a great humbling experience? You just touched on something there, accounts, Shane. It's just going back. When you lose everything in life you've worked for, it's so humble, and you get back up again on the horse. Simple things in life like this mean a lot more to you.
See, this isn't simple. This is like the creme de la creme of discussion. Like,
oh yeah.
Like,
oh,
when I was trying to save the accounts that Shane was talking about, this is simple.
Right, so are we all going for a Leinster win here in Cardiff?
Yeah, they're
absolutely.
A decent price, aren't they? 4-6. I know they're away from home, but
look at the squad they have. He used 50, what, 6 or 7 players last year. Mm. Guys, the only thing at Leinster, think about all the club, great club rugby teams. The provincial teams have killed rugby.
Oh, yeah.
That's the sad part. Yeah. Another day, topic.
Intercounty is coming close to the Strong Club, too, by the way. Yeah. Munster against the Cheetahs as well. Jesus, has a game ever sounded so unappealing as Munster against
Munster
the Cheetahs?
Munster 25.
I don't get these guys being brought over from the far side of the world to play in this. I think it's a complete joke.
Yeah, Murray's out for 4 months with an unspecified injury, which is very interesting. There's talks of it being a neck injury. Duncan Williams, James Hart, Jack Stafford and Neil Cronin, who's the brother of Sean Cronin, they might battle it out for the number 9 shirt along with Albie Matchison.
They need to sort out the number 10 shirt first.
Well,
big
they do have
big
Carberry
time.
Now.
Yeah, Joey Carberry. Yeah.
It's kind of a shame that Carberry and Murray don't have those 4 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Because you never know with Sexton, and like, is he going to get injured?
He's not going to play too many games. He never does in the
Pro
14.
But, like, you know, between now and, you know, he'll be playing in the Champions Cup between now and the Six Nations, and obviously the
Did you watch
World
Paddy
Cup.
Jackson last weekend? I watched it. It was an interesting. They got well beaten.
He had a tough baptism.
He had a tough baptism of fire now, but he's back playing now and all. And the one thing with Carberry, if he's a bad start, there's a huge pressure on Carberry to perform down at Munster. Mm. Like, the out half
Fair
has been a disaster.
About the out half being, about the scrum half being.
Like you
a
think
it,
you
well,
think
like.
It to him now without Murray, his job, and everyone's going to be watching. The Munster people demand him to be the new saviour.
The saviour, yeah.
Ron Nagara, will it happen? I'm not too sure.
Yeah,
without Murray,
they've
without
had a
Murray.
Number of years now of not having Rolls Royce number 10s down there. So I'd say they cut him a bit of slack at the start.
I would think so. Yeah, sure. I would think so.
A couple other games: Connacht against Glasgow, Ulster against Scarlets as well. Any decent prices there?
Connacht against Glasgow. Connacht are 13-10. The draw 25-1. Glasgow 4-6. And Ulster against Scarlets 5-15. Kickoff of the weekend. Ulster 8-11. Scarlets 11-10. So pretty evenly matched in terms of match betting. Anyway, the matches this weekend.
Decent price on Scarlets to win away there.
Yeah, 11-10.
Moving on to the racing then, lads. Shane, we'll start off with the Irish Cambridgeshire at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, another cavalry charge, Johnny, it's fair to say, this weekend, the Cambridgeshire.
It is.
Of course, we're ahead of Dex at this stage, but if he gets in, Lucius Tiberius for Aidan O'Brien, who a lot has been made about the form of his horses in the yard and a possible bug and virus and everything else in the last month or so, but he's still operating around 15%. in the last couple of weeks. Lucius Tiberius, currently 12-1, still fairly lightly raced, just the 9 starts to his name. Previous course winner as well, and hopefully the drop back and trip won't be too much of an inconvenience this weekend, and he should also get a strong gallop to chase as well, considering so much in the lineup.
I'm with Shane there. This horse, as he says, he's dropping back in trip. He was out of his depth last time, but he's a lovely progressive Camelot, a bit of class in a handicap like this.
And he ran in Arlington last time,
didn't he? And basically, you know, coming back now, he's had his 3 weeks off, just progressive, and the fact that he stays, like, is, I just think this Camelot race does take, and just under him in the weight firmament for David O'Mara. He's back down to a very realistic mark and ran a blinder last time, and if there is a bit of cut in the ground, be no problem to him. He actually likes an ease, you know, he's definitely been capable, and I think if O'Mara brings him over, I'd nearly dutch the two of them against the field. Very, very interesting renewal of the race.
Just one or two more to touch on then as well, very briefly, the Snow Fairy Filly Stakes, which is the 250 at the Curra on Saturday. I think there's 23 entered in again now, so we're well ahead of declaration stage at this time. But if Desert Diamond runs, she's also, I should say, in another race at Sandown on the same day for Michael Sape, but hopefully she'll be in there with a chance.
Chris Hayes is booked already.
And Chris Hayes is booked, so which suggests that she will take her chance in this race. Won really well in Listed Company the last day at York. I think that was a 5 or 6 length victory on that occasion. That was on Good to Soft. They're currently calling it yielding, I think, at the moment at the Curra. So if we see a bit more rain, it'll definitely suit this filly. And hopefully the more rain that comes, she'll be, if she should take her chance, by the way, she'll be there with every chance for Michael Stout. That's Desert Diamond. And then just very briefly, 10 Sovereigns. Impressive on its debut, wasn't it?
Unbelievably so, yeah. Like, for, I know he's a no-name ever, but for first time out, he looks special potentially.
16-1 Andy Pulse for the 2,000 guineas.
Long way away.
Yeah, long way away, but the manner of that victory would suggest, you know, he'll be definitely classic bound next season.
Johnny, just, I'm meeting my teammates on Saturday. Could you just give me one winner that we might have a free day? Please, anyone, I will, but
I'm not going to give it to you now because we don't have decks till tomorrow. But I definitely will.
Just one.
I might even give it in person.
Wow.
Just my rock
on a slip of paper.
Would you come to the GPA and you could be, you know, that 27 sub that we didn't ever, we 26. You could be our 27 sub in the meet team.
As long as there are points.
Were you born then, Johnny, 30 years ago?
35 now.
Are you?
Same as myself, Johnny.
Going on 36, Shane. Thriving.
Same as myself. Thriving. Birthday buddies?
No, 11-11.
No, Johnny.
9-10, I'm older than you.
You're what?
You're only a young lad.
You behave like a 16-year-old, in fairness to you, Johnny.
Yeah, I tell you what, I had a few points Saturday to watch the Liverpool game, and then we did 70th.
You had plenty going on every weekend, though.
By Monday, I felt like I'd been on an absolute tear the night before, and this is 2 days.
You had a 70th.
Yeah, I was at a 70th, and I was invited to a 60th the same day. That's where I'm at.
That's your friend group.
I do like Pats, Watford. I like Watford to be Pats, by the way.
On
they're
well
overpriced. They're like something like 5-2. Don't really see why they're such a big price.
11-5, Pats 11-10, the draw 11-5.
I think Pats are way too short there. Maybe a bit of drawn about Watford. I'm going to go along to that game as well. And invited to birthday drinks after that as well.
Well, if you're over a croaker, Bernard's teammates are all around 60 at this stage. Yeah. Well, you right in.
It's a nice, if you're doing that in town, we're doing a big gig on Flannery's Saturday night, you might come over for a drink there.
Oh God, it's the last thing I need. See you in Flannery's.
Okay. what was the horse running Saturday or Sunday?
Still both days, probably.
Lads, bets of the week then. Start off with you, Shane.
Plenty of winning bets from last weekend as well, didn't we? So
We don't like bringing it up,
but plenty to chase on once again. Just the one treble for me this weekend, Shane.
Is there a darts bet? No.
I know we're a long way off from the next major TV event, the darts. I think it's the City West, actually, the Grand Prix. I'll be out of jail for a few nights.
Free tickets for me?
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I get in on that?
Pints involved, that's anyone? Actually a bit of,
you have to be steamed for the dart, so you'd really do.
Oh, it's great atmosphere, yeah. But
I'll give you two, Shane, mine the weekend. I'm actually going to go against Johnny here.
He's not even gone through his bet yet.
Oh, I thought you were finished.
Yeah, no, he's on about the darts.
Very briefly.
Bernard.
Three football bets to make my treble. United to beat Burnley away from home, Arsenal to beat Cardiff, and City halftime full time against Newcastle pays 11-4.
No, Bernard, you were mad to get in there.
Just two. I'm only going to give two. Johnny's going to give me a horse, and I'm not going to give you that. Tyrone, I think they're just going to be inside the handicap at 6, isn't that right, Shane? That's one. And the other one, I think this is one cracking bet. It's a once off 11-8 for Tyrone to score the first score. So only two teams can score the first score.
You'll know your faith. The other pretty early.
11-8. It's a great bet.
Yeah,
that's the get on that. And if you meet me on Monday or Tuesday, it doesn't happen, I'll be hiding. But I think that's a great bet.
Tyrone,
first score.
You're up. Obviously, my nap is Dublin minus six. I think they'll just manage the game. They're just far better footballers. How many Tyrone players get on the Dublin team?
Peter Hart, possibly.
Matty Donnelly would get in instead of Scully.
Tiernan McCann might get in there. Mm. Colin Kavanagh get in there as a destroyer.
He wouldn't replace the other two or three.
Oh, he'd be a fair dog to have him even in the half back line.
Yeah.
And how many of the Dublin subs will get on the Tyrone team? Pretty much all of them, I'd say.
We're pretty much four or five of them, yeah.
Dublin minus six, massive bet, and really like Palace, and I'm going to go in with Watford. Watford draw no best, which will probably be about 5-4.
Yeah.
Just a little bit safe, because I don't want the bet to flounder on the longest odds. So that treble should pay in the region of 8-1, 7-8-1.
Yeah, 7-8-1, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking some of my Tyrone bets are based on hope rather than expectation, because we're all just sick of
life is about hope, Shane. Yeah. Correct. If not expectation.
Well, based on that, Tyrone plus six as well, like, that's definitely not going to come in, but that's my tip. Definitely throw money at that. No goals, 6-1, I think, is slightly more of a chance.
Yeah, I think we're not going to see too many goals.
Yeah, draw between Burnley and Man United, 13-5. It's hard to know, will that keep spiralling or not? Draw between Watford and Spurs is 3-1 as well. So those are my bets. Lads, any final words?
Hopefully we get a good game Sunday. Hopefully.
I pray for the future of Gaelic football that we have a half decent game on Sunday. I think Johnny said it on, if we have a one-sided poor game, I'll tell you what, it'll be a bad finish to a very average football season.
The
viewing
figures are going to be interesting as well.
Mm. Do you know what? You see the figures for the two semi-finals compared to last year? They were nearly halved, guys.
Yeah.
And that's purely because of the football. Mm. Standard football.
Okay, lads, we've it all set.
But it's all Ireland weekend. Yeah. Enjoy.
Mayo. It's all about Mayo.
Yeah, it always is.
Just Tyrone, as a Mead man, go and beat these boys in blue. Imagine next year facing the five in a row. I'll head down to Kerry.
The two least liked teams in Ireland facing off.
No, I love Dublin.
The fact that people want Tyrone to win says it all.
But the team's fine, but generally people don't want Dublin to win.
Yeah.
Going back since I was in
Dublin. The players are all the finest.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And the football they've played has been brilliant.
And I don't normally smoke, but plenty of them have given me cigarettes in the smoking areas on nights out.
You're a social smoker.
Yeah.
Reminds me of, I was at the dentist.
I stopped.
The dentist goes to me there, it was about 2 or 3 years ago, and the dentist goes, she goes, do you smoke? And I was like, no, just socially. And she goes, do you socialise a lot?
I'll tell you just quickly.
Are you coming for one later?
Johnny, have you met him? David Beggy. I remember in Ireland final at half time, he had to get a pull of a fag. Brilliant. And Colm Coyle as well.
They were the days.
I'll tell you, they were tough, hardy bees.
And crap football, as you've explained already.
A lot of it was crap.
Yeah. Right, my thanks to Bernard, Johnny, Shane. We'll get you again next week.
The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.